Amen for that. Happy Sabbath. Thank you so much for that inspirational number that have been given to us by Alan and AJ. A message that lift up our spirit closer to God as we are going to worship Him this Sabbath day. I'm so thankful to God for the opportunity given to me to preach again on this house of worship, the Joy of Troy. Actually, it's my second time to preach in this church. And I'm happy to see those happy faces, some familiar faces, those brothers and sisters from the capital city, some from the our church in Kinderhook, and I'm so happy to see all my kababayans. Kababayans means a countryman. Malu and Candy, I think there are also Filipino on the sitting at the back. Okay, mabuhay. Mabuhay is long live. You know, every time we attend worship service here on your church, we feel we're at home. Because your service here is like a service that we have from the country where I grown for, the Philippines. Our service is a traditional traditional service. Every time we attend here, I told my wife, I said to her, our Sabbath is, you know, it's perfect. We feel the holiness, you know, of the Lord every time we attend your service here. It's not bola. Sister Candy, what's bola? I'm not telling that our service in our church in Kinderhook is not, you know, it's not good, but the style of our service there in Kinderhook is different from the one that we are doing here. Probably it is their strategy how to get some people coming into the church. So we are happy, attending church at Kinderhook for one reason that, our two grandchild, they have their children class there. So we are happy attending a church at Kinderhook. But despite that, we feel that every time we attend the service here, I always remember what we did in the Philippines. You know, the Philippines is a very conservative country when it's going on with the service. When you attend the church there, you cannot, nobody is clapping hands during service. I didn't say that those people clapping are not good, but it is because it's our tradition. No wearing of earrings, no wearing of ring, wedding ring, yeah. No wearing of pants for the woman. It's very conservative. It's because that's our culture there in the Philippines. And that's our culture. So we respect every culture. Wherever from any country we came from, even we came from Africa, we came from Asia, Europe, or America. Our denomination respects the culture of every individual. though different culture and language, we are united in Christ. They say that unity in diversity, not unity in uniformity. I entitle my topic today, The Secret of Victory. For every individual on this world, there is a secret when it comes to victory. When you are on the line of politics, of course you have your own strategy or different style how to get more votes from the people and to defeat your rivals in politics. Like what happened on our last election where President Barack Obama win over his Republican rival Mitt Romney. Of course, our president has his own strategy how to win. In our country, you know, dirt politics is so very dirty. They bought people their votes. You know, it's very dirty. Almost a year after the election, still there is a protest in the in the court. They say that they have been cheated. And like here in America, that after a night, after a day, the election has been finished. So praise the Lord for that. When you are in the line of sports, or you are in the or you are an athlete, you have your own secret how to become physically fit and strategy how to win over your opponent. Filipino boxer Manny Pacquiao, you know, he's a Filipino. I don't know. Somebody knows it. Yeah. Manny Pacquiao was accused by his boxer ring rival, Floyd Mayweather, that the reason why he is strong and physically fit like a bull is because he is using drugs like steroids before he goes to fight. That's the accusation of Floyd Mayweather. He said on an interview on television, the secret on how to become physically fit and strong like a bull, he said, is a lot of exercise and regular eating of white rice. That's it. I know that because I'm a Filipino. Eating white rice or brown rice is, it's good. So that's the secret. I don't know if all of us are eating brown rice here or white rice. I can't forget what my father-in-law told me. When he's still alive, he died 2006 at the age of 87. And they have 9 grown children. And one of these is my wife. She's number 6 on the 9. My father-in-law and my mother-in-law didn't finish any higher education. They didn't finish high school or college. But despite having blessed with many children, they sent them, all of their children, to school and finished their own courses to college. And all of them are in one faith together with their family as Seventh-day Adventists. Praise the Lord for that. And he told me the secret of their success is faith and trust to the promise of God. That's their secret. My mother-in-law is still alive and she's now 91. And she's strong and happy to see all of her loved ones in one faith and in one accord. For me and my wife, Matthew 6:33. Sorry, AJ. Every time I pronounce Matthew, it's, AJ told me, no, Lolo, it's Matthew. Matthew 6:33. said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things should be added unto you." Yeah. That's the secret promise on our 37 years journey in life without 3 grown children. Dedicating our wholehearted service without anything asking in return is the theme of our service to the Lord. And the Lord fulfilled his promise to us. To have a happy family is a big asset that cannot be bought by any amount of money of this world. He guided our children in the way how they are now. When we are on my country, I saw the hands of the Lord, how he blessed our business, in which for me is far beyond my expectation, how it grew up that way. He supplied our needs, our wants, and up to now I feel the hands of the Almighty God continue to bless my whole family. Matthew 6:33 is our secret. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things should be added unto you. I know that every one of us has their own secret of success in our life as well. All sorts of exercise flood the market today. Exercise has so become popular that some people have seriously damaged their health overdoing it. When I was on my 30s, I played tennis very much. Before I leave the house, I put 4 t-shirts on my bag, a big towel, and of course all my tennis accessories, including 2 rackets, and I go to the tennis court and play tennis. It means that if I use all those 4 t-shirts, it means I have 4 games on that morning. So I do it in my life as my exercise. Doing it, I found that I have damaged my knee. Every time I play 4 games, I feel that my knee sore very badly. And when we go here in New York, we look for a doctor, and he told me that that's an arthritis. He told me, "No, I have no arthritis." I tell my daughter, I tell my wife, "It's not true." He told me that I have to hang my racket. No, you know that is the worst thing for every player, to say that you hang your racket. That means that you cannot play tennis anymore. So I told my wife, "It's not true." I don't believe in him. He say, "I have an arthritis." And I told him, "Doc, I told him no." Because I told him that I stay here in New York for almost 7 years, but you know, I experience a lot of winter, and it's cold. My knee doesn't hurt, I told him. So I am not convinced. He told me, "Okay, you go to what you call this MRI. I have to go to MRI." So I go to the Albany Medical Center to do an MRI, and they found nothing. And the doctor said, "Oh, it's definitely arthritis." "No, doctor, I have no arthritis." So on 2006, when we moved here in New York, I really missed the sports very much. Not because there's no time or place to do it. In fact, there's a lot of tennis court here in New York. Unlike in our country, to play tennis, you have to pay. But here in America, everywhere you go, there is a tennis court. You can play tennis. But the reason why I cannot play is you have to look for your partner to play, or instead you have to do on the wall. They say it's walling. So I really miss tennis. But last summer, this is the first summer that I remember my family enjoy very much play together in some kinds of activities. We go biking, jogging, walking, and I have to have time to teach my family to play tennis. You know, the Bible introduced an old style of exercise that make us strong to gain the victory. I want to ask Eric to come forward, stand up in the middle, and he will show you what the Bible tell. Okay, you stand in the middle, Eric. I want you to stand still. Stand still and go forward at the same time.
Does he need to talk?
Okay, repeat. Stand still and move forward. Okay, thank you. The Lord assigned this particular exercise to the Israelites right at the beginning of their trip to the Promised Land. We can read it in Exodus 14:15. They were at the banks of the Red Sea, close in by mountains on either side, and the enemy was coming rapidly from behind. Just when they were ready to panic completely, the Lord sent a message to Moses, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." There you have it, a Bible endorsed exercise program: stand still and go forward. That's all there is to it. Is it possible to stand still and go forward at the same time? Is it possible? You say no. You say yes. Yes. Okay, thank you. Well, you have probably done it before. Have you ever stood up on a bus or train or airplane while it was going forward? Did you stand still?
Yes.
Okay. Most people realize the futility of jogging up and down the aisle of a bus or plane while it is in motion. Not only is it wasted effort, but you are likely to lose your balance and fall down. So you just stand still, but at the same time you are going forward. And not only that, but you are going forward at a much greater speed than if you got up the vehicle and tried to run in your own strength. How were the people of Israel to stand still and go forward at the same time? It's a question. They were to stand still as far as fighting the enemy was concerned. But they were to go forward in faith. It's the difference between the fight of faith and the fight of sin. God invites us to become involved in the fight of faith. He warns us against becoming involved in the fight of sin. That's our lesson, I think, 2 weeks ago, 2 Sabbath ago. What is the fight of faith? The fight of faith is the struggle to set aside that thoughtful time each day for prayer and study of the life of Christ. That is the fight of faith. I will repeat it. The fight of faith is the struggle to set aside that thoughtful time each day for prayer and study of the life of Christ. That means our communication, our relationship with God. That's the fight of faith. The fight of sin is the struggle to overcome temptation and sin, to war against the devil and his powers. If we try to fight the fight of sin, we're finished right at the beginning. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we wrestle not against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If we are not fighting even flesh and blood, then how can we fight? How do you fight the spirit? That's a question. There is only one way. You have to engage the help of another spirit to fight your battle for you. That's the battle of sin. And this is what God has promised to do for us. Man is not able to save himself, but the Son of God fights his battle for him in places him on vantage ground by giving him his divine attributes. It's true that Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God, which look as though there's going to be a fight. But if you examine the armor described in Ephesians 6:11-18, it is armor for standing war. In fact, that's what it says repeatedly. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand. Verse 11. Having done all to stand. Verse 13. Stand therefore. Verse 14. Notice that every item of the armor of God that we are to put on has to do with a faith relationship with God, or the fight of faith. It is for defense, not armor for attack. The various pieces represent truth, righteousness, and the gospel of peace. Faith, salvation, prayer, and the word of God. The person who is thus equipped will be ready to stand in trying to fight the enemy, but go forward in a relationship of faith and trust in God. It said, don't try to go forward unless you are standing still. Don't try to go forward unless you are standing still. Why? You will be sure to fall. But it said, don't try to stand still without going forward, because or you will have only passive religion that will soon go sour. Stand still and go forward. It's the only way to victory. Another story in the Bible that supports our study today is the story of King Jehoshaphat that can be found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I know that you know this story very much. Jehoshaphat had been received word that the enemy was coming. Instead of calling a council of war and ordering the troops to prepare at once for a major attack, he did a very interesting thing What did he do? He called a prayer meeting. The enemy is coming. Instead of preparing for an attack, they called a prayer meeting. At that prayer meeting, one man stood up, led up by the Spirit of God, and suggested a plan. He told the people that they were to go out to meet the enemy, but that they would not need to fight. That the Lord would fight for them. So early the next morning, they gathered to go out to meet the enemy. And after a short discussion, they decided to send the choir at the head of their company to sing praises to the Lord on the way to the battlefield. They sent a choir. How would you like to have been a member of that choir? That's the question. It would have been a real victory to get the victory over trying to get the victory, wouldn't it? Can you imagine someone on the bus section sticking a slingshot under his choir robe? If you had been there that day, it would have taken far more faith to leave the slingshot home and go out in the name of the Lord, singing praises to him, wouldn't it? But somehow the people managed to do what Jehoshaphat had commanded, and the Lord won a mighty victory for them that day. Amen. In the spiritual life as well, victories are always won by looking to Jesus and depending upon his power. They are never won by trying to help. Listen. They are not never won by trying to help God out, allowing him to do part of the work while we take pot shots at the enemy on the side. Victory is God's department. We can cooperate with him only through seeking a relationship with him day by day, and thus allowing him to fight the enemy for us. I need to ask AJ to come forward. Probably you have tried it before, the balancing of the broom, or what AJ bring is a umbrella. Can you put it on your hands? At first, okay, he looked at the umbrella and he looked up, and the umbrella stayed on his hand. But AJ, do it another one. You put the umbrella on your hand and look on your hand. Okay, it's Paul. When we look to ourselves, we inevitably lose the victory. But when we look to Christ, victory comes as a result. Amen. How does the poem go? I look at Christ and the dove of peace flew in. I look at the dove and he flew away again. Most of us have lost the victory, not because we have not tried hard enough to get the victory. I repeat, most of us have lost the victory, not because we haven't tried hard enough to get the victory, but because we have tried too hard. We have tried too hard. We have been working on the victory itself, and in that very process, we lose what we have to gain. In the growing Christian life, It is possible every day to work to gain the victory and lose it, or to look to Christ instead of working the victory and gain it. Have a blessed Sabbath to everyone. I hope that the message will help us to grow in Christ as we're still waiting for the soon coming of our Lord. It's my prayer this morning. Amen.